M16, number 6A.
The synonymous term life, and so we want to investigate it, how life is translating itself to the various levels of consciousness. And so we have the first category, what is life as itself? Okay, what is life as itself? Well, actually, when we come to the synonymous term life, it is rather difficult to express it, because life itself is such a simple, clear-cut tone. It has all to do with saying that being is, that there is an isness of being. So we can best express it that actually what mind, spirit, soul as the fundamental principle is showing forth as its nature is. So we get the great sense of beingness, of isness, of being that which cannot be destroyed, which is indestructible, therefore in a sense deathless. And that isness, we know, is not just one amorphous mass or block of beingness. It is an infinite individuality of isness. So that life within itself, the tonality of life, says, I am an infinite individuality which is. And in this way, we have a simple tone of this first category. I actually don't know what else one could say in order to bring out the core of life. Just say, being is. So that what we have learned through mind, spirit, soul principle is not just a hypothesis, is not just something that we make up, but that the life comes and says, well, that has the nature of beingness, has the nature of isness. But then when we go to the whole realm of life and consider what life is as its own realm, therefore in the realm of principle and idea being one, in the oneness of that realm, then we see here life in the biblical terminology as the Father. It is really that what Jesus introduced. He was the first one to introduce God as the Father. The Old Testament didn't know that, because his accent was on life. He introduced the 5,000-year period. He came to show that life is deathless. He wanted to show really the category one, the isness of being. And so he considered that isness of being for the whole mankind, for the whole universe, for the whole realm of being as the Father, because the Father is that which fathers the universe, and therefore is constantly self-sustaining that universe. But if we take it away from the biblical connotation into more abstract ideas in the scientific language, we could say that life is nowness. It is just here and now, and with the nowness we indicate that this isness of being has no time sense. That means in that realm of being, it is not a time realm, a realm that has successiveness in time, but it's always timeless, it's nowness. Therefore, it gives the sense of eternal. You may ask, why couldn't we put eternal into category one? This would be quite a good question. Well, isness and eternal have a slight difference. If we talk about isness, we don't think about a realm, neither in time nor in space. Whereas if we talk about eternal, we we somehow indicate a time sense, a time space, unlimited time space. So we have all that sense of eternal, everlasting life, the permanency of life, the continuity of life, all that which indicates some kind of a future, so to say, and the moment you have that, actually you take inner realm. We also know life here as the ever-present life, as a spaceless life. And so you see, up to now, all these terms had a lot to do with showing really that there is a realm, but an eternal realm without ending, so that life here is eternal, everlasting, permanent, continuity, ever-present, and is showing itself as existence. When one studies the textbook, one feels that Mrs. Eddy makes a distinction between being and existing, or existence. And in my writings too, I make that distinction very consciously, that I always somehow use the term existence and not being when I feel I want to bring out that life exists everywhere, that life exists in a realm. The moment I want to bring out a realm sense that life exists everywhere, is continuous, is ever present, see, then I usually use the term exists or existence. Very much so also when then that term is translated more to the human level and want to show that life is existent everywhere on every level, so that again it indicates a realm sense. That existence at this point of divine science is coexistence. We have to see that we only use that term existence here when we want to bring out the coexistence of principle and idea, or of life and life's realm, therefore the coexistence of life, capital L, and life, small l. Principle and idea coexist and are co-eternal, Mrs. Eddy will bring out. That's all on that level of divine science. That life, because it is indestructible in column 1, can now be seen as being self-sustaining. The moment you have a sense of self-sustaining, you get the sense of a continuous sustenance, that it goes on sustaining itself, and the moment you have that sense of it goes on eternally, naturally you have the sense of divine science, and no more of science itself. Perhaps here we could also use a sense of abundance, the abundance of life. Well, life is abounding. Life is everywhere. It abounds everywhere in its fullness. So again, it is depicting the whole realm of being. The last term is method, very tricky term, and I wouldn't put my hand into the fire for that one. It's difficult. It's difficult because it's very difficult to know what one means with method. And if one means method, really, the way things are happening, the ways and means of things are happening, then it may be really in this category, but it could also be in category 3, according to what we mean with method. The moment we mean a way of life, or our way of life, our method of living, then it could be easily put into category 3. So take that with, I think you say, with a pinch of salt, and just think about it. But up to this point, really, one gets the true feeling of life as that life which is not just isness, not just being, but life that pervades a whole eternality, which pervades a whole spiritual space, so that life is just everywhere, and everywhere would be the space sense, and it's just eternal, which is a time sense. I mean, correcting a human time sense and a human space sense, but it gives you a realm sense. Then, actually, when we have established that, then we come to Absolute Christian Science, where we get those ideas that are perhaps much nearer to our heart, much nearer to our practice, much nearer to our interest, perhaps. And when we translate it to the level of Absolute Christian Science, I think that Father, which we had in Divine Science, see, when it is applied to its idea, then it becomes fatherhood. The moment we have the relationship between principle and idea, and therefore a sense of expressing the principle, of manifesting that principle, of showing forth that principle, of applying that principle to an idea, at that point, really, life takes on the sense of fatherhood, of that hooding of the father sense, which gives us a sense that there is an infinite source or well of life out of which everything flows. There is only then a source when there is flowing out something, or else there is not a source. Therefore, source indicates not only the origin, but also shows that there is something flowing out. The moment we always have life as a projection, like in fatherhood, in the practice of father as fatherhood, in the projection of a source that overfloods of the whole of being, you get the tone of Absolute Christian Science. Just as we had it when we were considering life, truth, and love as the word in Absolute Christian Science, we had a terrific sense of impulsion, the urge, the springing out, the spontaneity of it, the bringing forth. So all that which has that sense of bringing the whole to the specific is really Absolute Christian Science. Therefore, it's the fatherhood. What does fatherhood do to the creation? It preserves it, it conserves it, it sustains it. These are the terms here. That source is a spontaneous source that just flows and flows because it's in the nature that life flows. So you have a great sense that life shows itself as spontaneity, as impulse or impulsion. Can you hear? We get again those tones that we had in the law of life, truth and love. We have here that life propagates, multiplies. Again, can you hear? Multiplication we could not put into the level of science itself. There is no multiplication at the point of isness, of beingness. Being is being. There is no multiplication on the level of divine science, because their principle and idea is already expressed, is already coexistent and co-eternal. So actually, only when we come to Absolute Christian Science, we see that out of this source, out of this well of life, through the spontaneity of life, through the projection and preservation of life, we have a constant multiplication of life. Multiplication means that there is always more and more and more, whereas the level of science itself says everything is. So you get very clearly the difference in the attitude. Or Mrs. Eddy would say, use the term progression, infinite progression, is concrete being. So it shows that within being there is something happening in the way of constant progression, constant multiplication, constant projection, constantly bringing out the newness of life, the multiplication of life, and you just hear this whole tonality which is so different from divine science. Just do that from time to time when you ponder over these categories. Just flow through one category and then say, how does that differ in tonality from the previous category? And this, and through the comparison of two categories, the two categories, the characteristics of those two categories stand out even more. See, in the whole category two in divine science, you never had really that sense of projecting out, of something flowing out. You had a sense that everything is already full, is already at a state of abundance, or in a state of self-existence, of eternality and of ever-presence, and so there is no newness of life involved at that point. But the moment we go to Absolute Christian Science, you get that terrific impulsion, that projection. I like the term life projects itself, because that gives a sense of the relationship of life to the idea of life and to its creation. Yes, in this way we have established really the point of the absolute and divine sense. And now when we contemplate all that, what happens in this, in heaven, we can now translate heaven down to earth, and we come to Christian Science and say, now how does that affect the level of the opposite? How does it affect the human level? How does it affect our existence, our life, our sense of life? And so the first column, four, in which form does life come to the human? How does it, has it an impact on us? How does it precipitate itself on us? And what do we feel when that happens? And so we could say, well, the very first thing is that that one life, that isness of life, the self-existence and multiplication of life, comes to us as life, small l. It gives us a more living sense, a higher sense of life. And we get that, so to say, as a gift of grace. Life gives without really the works of the law. It is grace. And I always feel grace is that abundance of giving which Paul was so hot on it. He always talked about the gift of grace and that we live by grace and not by the works of the law, that we get it for nothing, that we are not first judged and then God gives us something, but that it lies in the inner nature of life, that life flows out and it comes to us as a gift of grace. It comes to us as inspiration. Perhaps we have to be a bit cautious about the tone inspiration, because we also could have that idea in mind at this point, because we have seen it comes in mind, it comes as new vision, as a new insight, and you also can call that as an inspiration. So you could easily have it in mind. What it wants to show here is that that inspiration really is more on the tonality of newness of insight. It's not so much insight or vision, but it's more on the question, something new is being given to us. In this way, we can consider this. So better perhaps would be to show that that impulsion of life in category three comes to us as what? As a newness. We experience it as a new idea, as a new vision. We experience it as a mutation in consciousness. It comes to us, and because it's something new, because it's a new paradigm, we also experience it as a sense of mutating. It comes to us as the way of life. Now here you can easily see why I hesitated so much with that term method, because method is a way of life, is a way, is a means of life. So also here it comes to us as a way of life that says, look here, there is another method you can use, there is another way to go about things. So we have just to be careful sometimes about certain terms. What does it do if life comes to us as a newness of life, as a mutation of life, as the inspiration of life, as the gift of grace? It always supplies us with new ideas. So it comes as supplying. We feel enriched by it. We feel that something is given to us through the gift of grace, and that fatherhood of life acts as a supplier, and we feel that we are constantly supplied by God with new ideas. Again, we have here the difficulty with the terms maintains, supports, sustains, because perhaps you remember we had these terms also on the mind, but there we had it under category 3, because in mind we used it in the context that mind really is maintaining its creation, is supporting and sustaining its creation, because it has the power to do it. So it was more there the power sense, whereas here at the point of life, we see it much more as how it comes to us, and not so much as the power of sustaining, but as the sustenance or abundance of life. Can you see sometimes you have a term like sustains, maintains, that you can say, well, within a one term, you have so to say, two or three different aspects. You can say, in order to maintain or sustain, I need power. Without power, you can't do it. So within that term is a power sense. On the other hand, you can say, what does it do? So not so much what is the authority in it, but what does it do? What it does is that it keeps, how can I put it, that it keeps the thing intact, that it helps to keep the isness of things preserved. That is sustaining, so that the isness of being cannot decay. That's why we had really in category 1, you see, the indestructibility of being. That translated to the human, that indestructibility of being translated to human, manifests itself as sustaining and maintaining and supporting. Yes? Can you hear the tonality of it? Huh? It still has all to do with preserving the isness of thing. We also have here genius. Well, at one time I was very hot in bringing out, you know, that life, because life is original, because life is spontaneous, because life is the gift of life, because life just gives abundantly without the works of the law, that actually if we see life clearly, it appears to us as, what is the adjective, ingenious, as an ingenious way, so that everybody really feels that if we open ourselves to life, one must be a genius. because life is always new. So through the newness of life, the ingenuity, can I put it that way, of being comes to, is manifested. Therefore, everyone can experience that, but how? Not by saying, well, my parents were a bit dumb and I'm dumb too, or I didn't have a good education so I can never do anything nice. It is actually really cutting off everything of the past, cutting off the works of the law, and see that each one is under the impact and impulsion of the abundance of life, the newness of life. Therefore, each one can be a recipient here of complete new ideas, and that is called a genius. Genius is nothing else but to have new ideas, completely new ideas which nobody else had up to now. So here we open up the whole well of life and experience it in that way of genius. God, I even had negative entropy here. I don't know how that was smuggled in. It's all right, but perhaps you wouldn't know what it means. It's naturally, neg entropy is a wonderful topic. Perhaps you remember when we did some years ago all about cybernetic laws and exponential growth and things like that. We were showing that from the material science level, the second the law of thermodynamics says that the whole world acts according to a law of entropy, which means the world runs down and burns up, so that the final point will be just absolute equality of power and motion and so on, which is death, and nothing happens anymore. Whereas we can see that in life, the very opposite law is at work, and that is called negative or negative entropy, which shows that there is always more and more diversification of life, more and more multiplication of life. Therefore, the evolution of life is, so to say, a proof against that law of entropy. Life is negative entropy.